Welcome into Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd?
Sir?
How we doing?
Outstanding.
We are live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs next to the Galleria Mall.
One of our favorite places.
We love coming here. This is your backyard.
Oh, yeah, right around the corner.
Used to be my backyard. And it is a beautiful day in Middle Tennessee.
Can't beat that.
Not gloomy and not 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Beautiful afternoon here in Nashville, Tennessee. We are here at Brewhouse South because it is the site of tonight's Smashville Live at 7 o'clock. Kyle Turris and Dan Hamhuis will be the player guests, hosted by Braden Gall and Hal Gill. Should be a lot of fun at 7 o'clock. Jeremy K. Gover and I will have Preds Insiders right here at 6 o'clock. So get excited about all that. If you're looking for something to do tonight, come on out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and you get a chance to either get an autograph from Kyle Turris and Dan Hamhuis or get your picture with them. Should be a lot of fun. Also, big day in baseball today, Floyd. Game 5 between the Braves and Cardinals. Do we think the chunky fella is going to be watching that this afternoon?
Oh, yeah. He's using, whatever it is. He's at home watching that game.
He's not going to be listening to us.
No, I'll guarantee you.
This is the last thing he's worried about, yeah, starting at 4 o'clock.
Exactly.
If anything.
And typical for him. You never hear him. I haven't heard him talk about the Braves for 4 years. But this year, because they're right in the middle of it, now we're, you know, hey, I mean, he's right there, every bit of it.
That was a great tomahawk chop there, Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's going to be, if he's not watching, he's going to be listening to Braves-Cardinals Game 5 at 4 o'clock on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. So this is, in my opinion, Floyd, the best month of sports.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
The month of October, everything imaginable is going on. Got baseball playoffs, you got the heart of football season, and you've got the start of hockey season. And last night, the Nashville Predators, Floyd, looked pretty good, beating up the San Jose Sharks 5-2. Thought the Sharks looked like a desperate team, because they are a desperate team. Started 0-3, they are now 0-4. They pushed hard late in the second period, they pushed hard early in the third period, and Kyle Turris, as Jared Stillman would say, paying what he owes. I have no idea what that means, but paying what he owes with the goal to make it 3-1. I thought that was a backbreaker, and the Preds went on to score another one, 4-1. Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene looking good again. This offense, Floyd, is looking pretty good.
I thought it was really, really exciting to see some of the real strengths of the team last year continue this year, which was the power play and Turris scoring. I thought
two things that really carried them throughout
really
last season.
Carried them, and no, I thought that was great. It was fun to watch. It was funny because I didn't. They seemed to be very poised, very relaxed, very methodical, very businesslike. You know, just went through, and there wasn't. You know, last year, the ups were dramatic, ups and downs. You disappear for a whole period and never come back again. You wonder what's going on. It seemed to me, you know, every period they went out there and did a little something, you know, score a little something or stop. Pekka, again, I thought was really, really good. I mean, he saved the bacon a couple of times. I mean, he is special.
Especially when the Sharks were pushing hard in that second period. I mean, they outshot the Preds 18-7 in the second period. Early in the third, Sharks had a power play opportunity with a fresh sheet of ice. He made a couple big saves on that penalty kill for the Preds, and those big saves led the Preds to being able to pull away there in the third.
Yeah, and so I thought it was impressive. You know, we saw a little bit of everybody scoring. We saw guys that we normally see score. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we saw a defenseman score a couple. We saw, you know, first line or second line, third. I mean, all the way up and down the McGillis. So that was really, really good. But I was just impressed with how kind of consistent things were. You know, it wasn't score three in a first and never see you again. Mm-hmm. You know, got a little something all the time. So exciting. And not taking anything away from Turris. I mean, he scored. And you know what? His new spot in this offense and this new offense may be a blessing for him. Mm-hmm. That may be the best thing that's ever happened to him. But we're hearing a lot more out of a lot more people. You know, we're not just counting on three.
Exactly.
You know, you've got every line, there's somebody there, and you're thinking, hey, this guy, it's this guy's turn. He's going to go out and do something special. So
I really
enjoyed it.
Even on defense, in the opening game, Ryan Ellis scored. In the second game, Matias Ekholm scored. Now, last night, Roman Josi scores twice.
Twice, yeah.
And all three defensemen have scored goals right around the net. And the defense seems to be active and engaging early on. You know, you mentioned the roller coaster that was last regular season. Even though they won the Central Division last year, there were games and nights where you were just left scratching your head. Now, it's only three games, but even Saturday night, the loss, that wasn't one of those downs in a roller coaster like they had last year. There were some games last year where they got just drilled, and you're thinking, what team is this? This is not the same team we've always seen. There just seems to be this breath of fresh air, at least to start the season with this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's... like I said, I think it's exciting, and I think it's interesting how to this point, and again, you know, you mentioned it's only three games, and Hal probably said it best yesterday on the show. He said, I don't even bother looking at what so-and-so is doing or how a team's doing until at least five games. So, you know, we got a couple more games, but still, I think what you're seeing and how you're seeing it and how everybody seems to be engaged, everybody seems to be a part of it, and I don't know that much about how long it takes to install things in the NHL, but I thought it would take them a while to get this offense get going. You know, I thought it might take them a third of the season.
That line with Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, and Mikael Granlund looks like they've been together for years.
Forever. Looks like they just, you know, just continuing what we've done the last 3 years. So, I mean, if the offense has anything to do with being able to bring people in and get them in there and get them situated to go the way that we've seen with this group, I mean, I like it.
Do you like it a lot?
Yes, I like it a lot. It's a good change, good move.
Absolutely. So last night the Preds win 5-2. We'll be talking some more Preds throughout the show. Earlier today, the Titans had their practice. And Floyd, Teron Davenport of ESPN.com put out there 17 minutes ago saying there was no sign of Cameron Wake or Delaney Walker on the field at Titans practice today. Both rode the stationary bike. Any cause for concern there for you?
No. Day off, you know.
Maintenance day?
One of those. Yeah, Bud Grant used to, you know, anybody over 38, he would change the day. If you're over 38, you get the day off. If you're over, you know, 36, you get the day off. So I think that's probably it. I mean, I don't know what they're, but I'm going to guess both those guys are 35 plus, maybe 36 plus. I don't know, but, you know, they need a little time.
Are you concerned with how Delaney Walker has started this season?
You know, what's funny, 2 weeks ago, I watched him just on the field, and not necessarily a specific play, but just watching him move and come off the line and get out of breaks and stuff. And I thought he was, you know, not full speed. Now, last week, I watched him and I thought, nope, he's there. Now, he did drop a ball, but I didn't look at him and think, gee whiz, you know, he looks like he might be hurting. I wonder if his knees hurt or his ankle or his hip or any of those kinds of things. So I feel much better about him, you know, right now than I did at this point in time last week.
Through five games, Delaney Walker has 18 catches for 172 yards and two touchdowns. Those aren't Delaney Walker type numbers that we've seen in his earlier seasons in a Titans uniform. And the reality is this may be the start of the decline for number 82. As much as we love him, as the old saying goes in the National Football League, Father Time is undefeated.
And he's getting to that age. Now, that being said, I mean, Marcus has a lot more options.
You
know,
this is true.
When you think about when he was catching, you know, 3 years ago, all he had was Delaney. Mm-hmm. You know, Delaney was getting every ball. So now they've got some with Brown and with Davis and with Humphreys and, you know, those different guys. He's got different options. So I'm sure they're eating up a bunch of the receptions.
Absolutely. This is Jared and the GM, Ryan Porth, in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. We are live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, the site of tonight's Smashville Live at 7 o'clock. Kyle Turris and Dan Hamus will be here. You should be as well. Coming up next, Taylor Lewan, before practice today, spoke for the first time since his social media antics earlier this week. We will get into all that coming up next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's up, Roman Josi? He of two goals last night for the Preds in that 5-2 win over San Jose. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stone this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Floyd, this week you and Jared have spent a lot of time talking about Taylor Lewan.
Yes.
And usually when we're talking about Taylor Lewan, it's not for the right reasons. or it's for reasons that don't have anything to do with on the field. Right?
There's certainly enough of that.
Whether it's his suspension, whether it's his podcast, whether it's him on social media. And this week it was tweets with Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips of the Buffalo Bills that he sent out. And that ignited Titans Twitter. And there are so many opinions on Taylor Lewan. And we're going to hear from Taylor Lewan here in a couple minutes. But WSMV's Justin Beasley put out a video, I believe this was yesterday, and this is a snippet of that video that he put out, and it was basically an opinion piece of Justin Beasley talking about Taylor Lewan and the tweets that he put out there after the game against the Buffalo Bills. Let's hear from Justin Beasley what he had to say yesterday.
Now, I don't know about you, but I assume if you're a Titans fan, you would have wanted Lewan to do his talking Sunday by protecting Marcus Mariota, not getting flagged for holding, and not having to shake off rust in week 5 against a great Bills front because of his suspension. At this point, Lewan, he's making headlines for all the wrong reasons. It's for everything that is happening after the whistle, or off the field, or Twitter, or a podcast. Titans fans and the Titans organization should want more from a Pro Bowl left tackle who is the highest paid in NFL history.
So that was Justin Beasley yesterday on social media. He went on a longer, I don't know about rant, but he went on a longer spiel about the whole Taylor Lewan thing. And as a Titans fan, I'm about getting sick of hearing about Taylor Lewan off the field. He is the highest paid tackle in the National Football League. It's about time he plays like it.
Well, I mean, his play has never been an issue. You know, his play has always been good. I think it's some of the extracurricular things that have always been the issue. And he just needs to back away from all that. You know, now, can he do that? I'm not sure. I mean, he's a victim of your generation.
I don't love me in my generation. I hate to put it that way. I'm only 29 years old, but I am not a millennial.
Everybody gets critical of people that are on, you know, that is tweeting or on the, whatever all those things are, and yet you guys are all on it, and everybody responds to it.
Well, I don't care if he's on Twitter. It's the timing of it. You get beat by the Bills. You don't look good doing it, specifically him and that offensive line.
I wasn't thinking as much about that as, like, the podcast.
Oh,
everybody brings those up. The podcast, like, it's really – that's his own time. I mean, he can do whatever – and he, what's he doing? He's doing what all you young people do. I mean, you can say what you want, but you're all doing it.
When are we going to have the Floyd Reese podcast?
I didn't say my generation.
But busing with the GM.
No, my generation's way past that. But I think he's doing what, you know, people of his ilk do. And that's why it's, I mean, to him, it's probably like second nature, like it is to, like Jared. I mean, Jared can't put his phone down. You know this. I mean,
he lives on his phone. He probably looks at his phone in his sleep.
He lives on his phone. I mean, I can't.
So do I.
Well, I mean, there you go.
But it's also part of the job. Like, I can't really step away from the phone for more than an hour at a time.
And it's his, you know, that's what he considers part of his job, too, like everybody. I mean, I've got a son that's in building, and I've got a son that's in the medical field. They live on their phones. Why? That's what you people do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't like it either. I don't. But the truth is this: football or professional sports, I'll just lump it all together. Things like that aren't important to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't a factor in what you do. And therefore, you need to, and Bill, you know, always used to tell him, hey, nothing inside this building leaves this building on your phone. Nothing. And they, you know what? You don't see stuff coming out of there. And that's what has to happen with those guys, with like Taylor. Nothing. You can't talk about football. You can't mention football. You can't talk about practice. You can't talk about injuries. You can't talk about the game. You can't talk about anything to do with football on the phone. And consequently, you know, when you're talking, when you're on your Twitter or tweeting or whatever it is you're doing that about, you know, home or your wife or friends or whatever it is you do.
Well, here's the thing. I don't mind at all the podcast. I enjoy the podcast that he does with Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys. I enjoy the fact that these players are active on social media. I just think all of it is timing. It doesn't look good when he's taping a new podcast while he's popped for PEDs and he's out for four games. I know he's sitting around for a month, not in the facility, but I just don't think that's a good look. I don't think it's a good look after a loss that you're trying to trash talk a Bills player saying, you know, let's go work out in Arizona and see who the tough guy is. I just don't think that's a good look. Now, Taylor Lewan, let's get to the audio today. Taylor Lewan did say today, before practice, when the locker room was open to the media, that he probably went too far with the tweets to the Bills players.
I say, like, I think the intent that I had in those situations, kind of standing up for yourself, not taking from anybody type of mentality, it got lost in translation there because I took it too personally. And so I let something after a game be said, and then I let it, you know, bait me into doing something after. And, you know, I've always been one to press the envelope and do a little too much sometimes, but I've done a good job of saying when I, you know, when I've done too much. And I think in that type of situation, I probably should have let it be. You know, he's talking about fighting me in Arizona and all that. I'm not going to fight anybody, you know. If he tried to fight me, I'd be like, listen, my daughter's over here. I'm probably going to go to the park. You know what I'm saying? So if that makes me a fake tough guy, then I guess I'm a fake tough guy.
That was Taylor Lewan earlier today before Titans practice. And I kind of take what he said with a grain of salt because that fuse that he has is so short, and that hasn't really changed over the years. Like, I thought he was turning a corner, Floyd. Remember the game against the Broncos back in 2016 where they got in that big fight on the sidelines and he just sat there in midfield?
Right.
After he had been in the middle of all that.
Yeah, he got one the week before or something.
And I thought he was turning a corner at that point when he sat at midfield and didn't even bother. But overall, I just don't think much has changed with Taylor Lewan.
He's
a left tackle that is really good on the field, but either talking on the field or talking off the field, he tends to think to take things too far.
I mean, again, now this is just my belief. You think AB's ever going to change?
Antonio Brown?
Yes.
No.
Never going to change. Anybody that you bring in that has had issues like this before, coming in, they're going to be there. I mean, they are not disappearing. Now, it may take them a while to rear their ugly head, but it's going to be there. And I think when you bring these guys in, whoever it may be, I think you accept that. You know, you say to yourself, okay, now we know there is this issue, and at some point in time, it's going to, you know, we're going to have to pay for it. Yep. Is it worth it? Is it worth, you know, to have maybe the best left tackle in the league to put up with a little chatter now and then? And somewhere along the line, somebody said, yeah, it is. You know, left tackle is that important.
How do you think John Robinson felt when he saw those tweets, though? Like, here we go again?
Well, I don't think he was surprised. I mean, if they come out with more tweets, are you going to be shocked? If we go there and get your brains kicked in and Von Miller beats him for three sacks, you think you're not going to see something? I mean, you're going to say, I can tell you that now. I mean, I think you just realize that it's there. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it, you know, but I think it's when you bring him in from the very, very beginning, you know this. And the Titans are, and I don't even know who did draft him. It must have been, wasn't it? Was it the
Lewan?
Yeah.
That would have been Webster.
Okay. So Webster knew what it was. And so, you know, again, I think that the analysis is always the same. Is this left tackle, as good as he is, worth some of these issues down the road? And like I said, somebody said, yeah, yeah, he is.
Do you think he's worth these issues?
All-pro left tackles are hard to find.
Yeah.
they're pretty tough.
I mean, look at any NFL game. Look at any NFL game on average, and there are offensive line troubles everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we're a prime example of all of that this year. But left tackles are really, really hard to find. I think we were probably fortunate, you know, in that going clear back to Brad Hopkins. You know, Brad just wasn't an issue guy. And Michael Roos wasn't an issue guy. Those guys
kept their mouth shut, and they went out and played.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic at what they did.
Now, the positive or one of the things that I think probably leads to that was remember who the boss hog was in there. It was Bruce. Mm-hmm. And what did Bruce, you know? Bruce never said a word. Bruce never did anything. Bruce just went out and played and then came back and got his stuff and went home and played with the kids.
Well,
that was Bruce.
And who was the boss hog with Michael Roos?
Kevin
Mawai.
Oh, probably right. Yeah. So, you know, I think they have, well, now the boss hog is Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the difference. And the truth is, when he came in here, I'm not sure there was anybody to kind of give him any direction. You know, there wasn't a Bruce Matthews to look at and say, oh, that's the way you do it, you know.
He had Chance Warmack.
There you hang on. You got it right there.
Do you think Chance Warmack was the boss hog of the Titans offensive line back then?
He was certainly the hog.
But he was no boss.
No.
So when I saw those tweets that Luan had to Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips of the Buffalo Bills, I thought, same old Luan.
Yeah.
When I watched Sunday's game, I thought, same old Titans. And we will get to that next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Mike, what would you say to the fans who, when you were hired, it was about raising the bar and raising the level, and see the inconsistencies and want to throw their hands up and say, this is the same old Titans? What would you say to those fans?
That we're working tirelessly to improve this football team each and every day. That when I come to work, to the detriment of my family, I think about this team when I'm here, when I'm not here, that we're going to improve. That our goal is to improve every day, to put guys into positions, to coach these guys, to let them be in position to help the team and play with great effort, play with great fundamentals, but most importantly, win.
It's Mike Vrabel. Monday, Jared Stillman asking the question of what do you have to say to the fans that think this is just the same old Titans? And Floyd, I'm a Titans fan. I sat there Sunday saying, these are the same old Titans. And throughout that entire game, I mean, it was a hard game to watch at times because there just really wasn't much going on that entire game. And you knew points were going to be valuable in that game. I mean, first team to 10 was probably going to win that game just going into it. But we had seen that movie before. We've seen that movie so many times with the Titans before. I think back to, I don't know if this was the last time the Bills played in Tennessee, but there was a game in 2015 when Ken Whisenhunt was the coach, and the Bills were awful, the Titans were awful, and it looked exactly the same. Almost exactly the same. The Titans were up by 10 in the second half. You know, even the Titans were wearing white, the Bills were wearing blue here at Nissan Stadium, and the Titans had no business losing that game. And they lost that game. That was the game where Tyrod Taylor scrambled on 3rd and 23 at their own 7. And that ignited their game-winning drive in that game. I don't know if you remember that game, Floyd. It was a very forgetful game outside of that Tyrod scramble. But this Titans team just tends to have losses where you just almost feel disgusted. And you just feel, oh, like you have got to be kidding me. Whether it's coaching decisions, whether it's player decisions on the field of a throw by Mariota or penalties, whatever. It just seems like this Titans team always has losses like Sunday, and I don't know how you get out of that funk. Like, they had losses like this last year to the Bills in Buffalo. They've had losses like this almost every single year since they won 13-3. Multiple losses where they had no business losing, and then they lose. And I don't know how you get out of that if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're John Robinson, if you're Marcus Mariota.
Well, you and I've tried to explain this to Jared, and it's just useless. And so,
okay, well, hopefully it's not useless today.
Yeah, let me try to explain. When you say it's the old Titans, in my mind, I'm thinking, is it, you know, you mean the 2000 Titans?
No,
13-3?
No.
Okay, do you mean the what would it be, maybe 2014 Titans, where they won two games?
No. It's not that
it's
bad.
It's not those teams. So we're talking about the last couple of years. In the NFL, how many teams have you got at the top?
Not many.
Three or four. How many you got at the bottom? Three or four.
Probably more than three or four this year.
Maybe more, whatever the number is. Everybody else is three or two or two or three. Everybody in the league, last week it was 20 teams. I don't know what it is this week, which means what? If you end up at 3-3, it means what? You're winning a game and you're losing a game and you're winning a game and you're losing a game and you're winning a game and you're losing a game. 3-3. That's the way the league works. And we're not the Indy. Indy had lost to the Raiders and then jumps out and beat Kansas City. How do you think they feel? Why are they that way? 2-3. Because they win when they lose when they win. Houston loses to Carolina and then turns around and beats the heck out of Atlanta by 50 points.
Ian puts up on the screen, there are 16 teams that are either 3-2 or 2-3.
Okay, there you go. Half the league. Half of the league is win one and you lose one, and you win one and you lose one. The only way you come out of that is by going in either direction. I mean, you can fall out going the wrong way, too. You can fall out where there is no winning part. It's just we lose one, we lose one, we lose. But what you want to do is you want to come out of it going the other way, where it's win, 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 lose. Win, 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 lose.
Right. When you're taking a step forward,
exactly
you're not
right.
Then following it up with two steps back.
And you do that when you get to a point that you can win double digits anyway, 10, 11, 12 games. When you get to that point, then it's just what you said. You win, 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 and you lose.
But is there any such thing as feeling good after a loss?
No.
And
there's no such thing as feeling bad after a win. And why is that? It's because
I felt pretty bad a couple years ago after the Titans beat the Browns in overtime.
And you lose one, and you win one, and you lose one. But then you realize how valuable wins are, and you realize how many times you're going to get beat in exactly the same fashion you just won. And you say, hey, you know, it balances out now. I mean, was that a pretty win? No. But I've played pretty and gotten beat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even uglier than winning ugly. So, and that's the way it's going to be. And until you're a team that can win double, that can get to 11, 12, 13 wins, it's that way every week. That's
so how do you get there?
You got to play better. You got to have better players. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have all of those things. You know, that's why it is so hard to win in the NFL.
You say you have to have a quarterback. Marcus Mariota has 7 touchdowns and no picks. He is the weirdest quarterback in the league. He might be the weirdest quarterback in the league. Like, we're sitting here. I know for me, as a Titans fan, I'm to the point where I'm saying he is what he is. Like, I don't think he's really going to make this team better with what he does. He's not going to make the weapons around him better. He's not one of those quarterbacks. He's also, you know, he's not a borderline one of the worst starters in the league. He's right there in that 15 to 25 range, depending on the week. And then, as we have discussed ad nauseum for the last 3 years, Floyd, then it's up to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to decide.
Exactly.
Do you want 15 to 25?
What
do you want a top 10?
Are you looking for Andy Dalton?
Five times? Know me, Floyd. I'm not looking for Andy Dalton.
No, but what?
I want no part of Andy Dalton.
Five times in the playoffs and no win. And you say to yourself, no win? How can you put up with that? All right, what's the other side of five times in the playoffs? Five times with five wins.
Well, the last few years for Andy Dalton, which has been
exactly
going so, in the opposite
direction. So which would you rather, which would you rather be? You know, obviously I want to make it to the playoffs every year. Well, you lost five times in a row. It doesn't matter. If I can make it the sixth time, maybe I get over the hump. Maybe we get there.
But they didn't. And
no.
Now that franchise, look, we can sit here and complain all we want about the Titans after what we saw Sunday.
Right.
I think we can all admit, thank God we're not watching the Bengals on a weekly basis. Thank God we're not watching the Jets on a weekly basis. Thank God we're not watching Miami, Washington, maybe even Atlanta at this point, the way the Falcons are going. Like, the Titans aren't to that level.
No.
But I will say this, if this team goes 6-10 or 7-9 or 8-8, which seems very possible at this point, because you look at the rest of the schedule, it's not like it's murderer's row, but there aren't games on that schedule where you can just chalk up a W next
week. No. I mean,
like, every week is going to be tough for this Titans team if they don't bring their A game.
And that's true for every team in this division. Every team. I don't care who you are. It's going to be true, and we've seen examples of it to date. I mean, we're going to see Indy go out there and beat Kansas City, and then they're going to turn around and lose to Oakland.
Right.
And you shake your head, and you say, how does that happen? You know what? This is the NFL. It happens.
Well, the Titans sold us on going from good to great, their big mantra for this year.
Right.
And if they go from good to below average, and at the end of this season they are 6-10 or 7-9, I tell you what, Floyd, there's going to be a whole lot of apathy if there isn't already within this fan base.
Yeah,
because we have seen this song and dance this last decade, whether it's 2-14 or whether it's just missing the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. You say that, and that is not true, Ryan. We've won 9 games. There's 7 teams in the NFL that have won 9 games or more in the last 3 years, and we're one of them.
Okay. You made the playoffs once.
It doesn't matter. We've won 9 games for 3 years. It just shows you what you're dealing with in the NFL. It shows you exactly how many teams you would think, well, between New England and between Kansas City and between that, whatever teams you want to throw out there. I mean, they've done it every year. Those teams do it every single year. No. Does not happen. Wrong sport. This is the NFL. It's different. That's why you look at the playoffs. Every year, 50% of the teams in the playoff are different teams.
From year to year.
Every single year they're different. Why is that? Because there's a couple of teams at the top, and then there's a whole bunch of other teams fighting to get there.
And then there's a couple of teams at the bottom that have no hope.
And that's where the Titans are right now. And so how are they going to get there? How do they get there? Well, you know, you've got to get your offensive line back in line. You look at this team and you say, okay, what do you need to have a pretty good team in the NFL? I'm just talking offense now. What do you need? Well, you need some receivers. Okay. Got some receivers. Mm-hmm. We like Brown, right? We like Humphreys. We like Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like Humphreys?
Not at $9 million a year.
Well, I mean, we're not talking money. We're talking about playing. Is he? You think he's going to help us?
He's okay.
Okay. What about Davis?
He's not the 5th overall pick in the draft.
Okay. Is he okay?
He's okay.
Okay. What about Walker?
He's been really good throughout his career, but the last couple weeks he's been okay.
And Henry?
Henry is the best player on offense, well, outside of the offensive line.
All right. So that group, you can look at that group and you can say, okay, there's potential there. There's something there that you can work with. There's something there you can get better. Now you look at the offensive line. and you say, okay, we've, you know, whatever Taylor was last week, being gone the whole time, is that satisfactory? Absolutely not. The left guard, has he come in and done what we anticipated he would do?
100% no.
No. Then you've got Jones. Jones is what Jones is. The right guard, who's
your favorite position on this team.
What?
The right guard.
Oh, yeah. Right guard. The guy's played one game. And it's going to try. Now, you feel good about that? No. And then Conklin last week gives up 2 sacks. Will you feel good about Conklin? No.
It's whichever way the wind blows with Jack Conklin.
It's so where do you need work? You certainly need work right there.
At what point?
You can't look at that offensive line. You cannot look at that offensive line and say that offensive line is worth double-digit wins. Absolutely no way. Cannot be.
We've got someone agreeing with you here.
So now, yeah. So now you can look at other parts of it, and you can go, yeah, they got a chance. We had a chance with that group. With it. Defense, for sure you got a chance. Punter, for sure you got a chance.
I mean, they got the best punter in the league, but so, that's really the only good thing going for this team right now.
So I think you can look at parts of it, and you can say, okay, this team is good enough. If you can get it all together, it doesn't mean you have to get all pros at every position. But you have got to get solid players at every position with a few stars.
I just want consistency.
Throw in your stars.
I just want consistency, and there's just zero consistency with this
team. Let me say this. When you're 8-8, you will never get it. When you win 9 games, you will never get it. When you win 7 games, you will never get it. Now you win 12 games, you got it. You win 13, you got it. It's there.
This team ain't winning 12. They ain't winning 13.
No.
They would have to run the table to win 13.
Yeah, I mean I think we're
beyond that point. Now, now we're just trying to be 500.
Yeah, I think we're beyond the. You know, I can't see that kind of record.
Coming up next, our weekly visit with forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders. He will join us coming up next. This is Jared and the GM live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Forth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, we are now joined by forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders, your co-host every Sunday on NFL Pregame. Chris.
What's up, fellas?
How we doing this week?
I'm doing all right, man. Just a little sad from the game on Sunday.
Yeah, you tell me. So you heard part of our discussion to end last segment about how the Titans sold us they were going to go from good to great,
okay,
and they've done anything. But since then, what's been kind of your vantage point week to week with this team?
LaJuan said a quote when he did his interview. He said, we're consistently inconsistent. And that's a perfect word of what's going on. You know, 1 week they look like world beaters against the Falcons, then they come against the Buffalo Bills, and they're just inconsistent in every phase of the game. And, you know, I think the fans just want to see a clean game. They want to see Mariota play well. They want to see the receivers play well. They want to see a complete game. And, you know, we only see one complete game the whole season, and that's been the Atlanta Falcons. And it's just kind of frustrating to watch it. There's still a lot of football left. They're 2-3. And if they just get on a roll and win a whole bunch of games, then everybody will be happy.
Chris, we saw a few mistakes, if you will, last week.
I'm just kidding.
What do you do now that Taylor's back? And I know Taylor's catching a whole bunch of grief right now, but Taylor is going to be fine, you know, as a left tackle.
Yeah.
And in my heart, I think Saffold's going to be fine. I think Jones is going to be fine. How do you help the young right guard without messing Conklin up? Now, it just appears to me like the right guard that Davis is going to stay in that spot.
Uh-huh.
So how can we help him?
You know, we just got to talk to him. And I know this is kind of cliches, but you got to talk to him. And right now, it's not the point right now. It's not to go and yell and start screaming and say you need to do this. He knows what he needs to do, whoever's in there. They just got to go in there and play with an attitude and really trust the technique that the coach is teaching them. This offense, it's not just the right guard that's struggling. Everybody's struggling. You got, you know, Saffo struggling. You got a lot of things. You got a lot of the guys struggling on the line. But, you know, when they're struggling, I went back and I asked myself, why is the offensive line struggling? So what I did is I went in and I called Brad Hawkins, one of the best offensive line guys for the Tennessee Titans. And I said, Brad, what is the problem with the offensive line? He said this. He said, when you have a change – of OC, the offensive coordinator, a change of schemes and the philosophy change, and you keep changing players, it's not going to work until you actually come together. And I sat back and I was like, whoa, because everybody can see that they're struggling. Everybody can see that there's something going wrong. And the reason why these guys are struggling is because they haven't had enough time to play together. You had LaJuan that was suspended for four games. You had Nate Davis that was hurt most of the preseason and the regular season. So if these guys are not playing together, how are they going to work together if they're not coming together and working together?
We have seen on a weekly basis, even with the good teams, like Kansas City last week. I mean, it doesn't matter who you play, when you play, where you play. You know, when you go in to play some of these teams, I mean, mm-hmm. they can kick you right in the butt.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get that point across to your team?
You know what the reason is, Floyd, is I think the Tennessee Titans right now are trying to find their identity. I mean, you made a perfect example with Kansas City. Kansas City, I don't care if they're 50 points down, their identity is, hey, we're going to throw the ball, we're going to let Mahomes throw it behind his back and throw a backwards pass. That's just their identity. I think with the Tennessee Titans, they don't know who they are right now. And I'm not saying it in a disrespectful way or a demeaning way, but if you look at when Mularkey was the head coach, we knew the identity was. I know they called on smash mouth football, whatever, but they knew they're going to run the ball, we're going to pound you, we're going to be physical, and we're going to come after you. If you look at the Tennessee Titans now, what's the identity of the team? Are we run first or pass second? I mean, what is it? And that's why you're seeing the struggles that you see right now.
Chris Sanders here with us on Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris, how would you assess what you've seen from Adam Humphries through five games as a Titan?
Who's that guy? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, Joe. I mean, he's done pretty good. When he's gotten the ball, he's made some plays. But he's got to come up and make the big play. Just like the last game, he missed a key third down. That could have been a momentum changer. And I know people are saying, well, he's not worth $9 million. He's not this and that. He's not that. But he's got to get opportunities. And me and Floyd talk about this all the time. Each week is going to change. Humphries might catch 5 one week. The next week, Davis might catch 6. It just doesn't matter. But I think when the opportunity comes at hand, he's got to make the play. And last week, he didn't make the play.
Do you get concerned? And I heard Delaney mention it this week, and I'm not sure Delaney's was ticked off about it as much as, you know, it was something along the lines of, yeah, I would like to get the ball more.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got Davis, you got Delaney, you got Humphries, you got Brown. You got those four receivers. And like last game, you complete 13 passes.
Oh.
I mean, guess what? I mean, if you had a good day, you're getting three catches.
I just hope he doesn't turn into what's that guy? Terrell Owens to say, give me the darn ball or somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's that type of guy. I just think that he is a competitor. He wants to make plays. He knows his ability. He's like, get the ball in my hands. I'm going to make something happen. That's why he's kind of frustrated. You can see when he was doing that interview, he was mad. I mean, they were asking him questions. He was like, man, if y'all ask me another question, I'm going to swing. That's how mad he was. But I don't think it's mad because he's not wanting the ball. I just think he wants the ball in his hands because he knows that he can make plays, and he's not getting it. And then on the flip side, he's still got to catch the ball, even if he gets one or two attempts. He's still got to make the play and not be frustrated and let the balls come to him when they come.
Chris, if you were in the shoes of Mike Vrabel,
mm-hmm.
Sunday afternoon against Buffalo, you're trailing and 6 uh-huh. minutes left, fourth
yeah.
and four.
Yeah.
Do you go for it or kick the 53-yarder with Santos?
Okay, I'm a coach now. I'm kicking the field goal. And the reason why I'm kicking the field goal is because if you kick the field goal, our defense has been playing well the whole game. So if we kick the field goal, now if we stop and get the ball back, now we're not just going to just try to tie the game. We put ourselves in position to win. See, a lot of people look on the outside, oh, go for it, yeah, this and that. But if you go for it and come out with no points, all you can do is when you get the ball back, tie it. So now if I put myself in position to kick the field goal, and if I have a chance to make it, now our defense is playing well, then all of a sudden we get the ball back. Now we're not just going to try to tie it. We're going to win the game.
I'm going to keep you in.
Smart football guy.
No, I completely disagree.
Guy.
Completely
what did
disagree.
I tell Jared? I said, Jared,
this is,
you
Floyd,
will
you've
find
been saying that all week.
Guy,
yep.
A football guy that will. He wanted to punt it. He said,
it.
You won't find the guy.
No, did Jared
football.
Say punt it?
Yeah.
Jared needs to be in timeout right now.
He is in timeout right now.
Golly,
but all right, Chris, let me put you back
sure,
in the shoes
sure.
of Mike Vrabel. Same
sure.
situation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you that confident in Cairo Santos up there after he missed the first three. That's my biggest beef with it.
No, I agree with you 100%, but as a coach, you have no choice. You really don't have a choice. If you don't get the fourth and four, and then I looked at the last play. Everybody's like, the plays before that. They should have got the first down so they wouldn't even be in this position. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we put the kicker in a bad position to where he already missed three, and then he missed his fourth one. We just got to make the kick and do what we need to do.
And I go back to – I heard – I think it was on the morning show.
Yeah.
You in a situation like that, you're, of course, counting on him to make the two less than 40.
Right,
and you're making half of them from the 50 out.
Yeah.
Nobody has missed four field goals in the last 22 years.
Ooh.
So that's even more of a reason that you go for it, figuring that, we're not going to break the 22-year-old record.
Hey, Floyd.
You're trying to talk me into this, Floyd, and you're not going to do it.
I'm not. I'm just giving you a little bit more ammo.
Hey, Floyd, who's it? You the GM? Oh, I'm just asking. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, man.
Chris Sanders, our guest here on Jared and the GM. You can catch Chris with Jared
appreciate
and Floyd
it,
this
guys.
Sunday from 1 to 3
for
the NFL pregame before the Titans take on the Broncos. Chris, appreciate
man.
It as always.
Hey,
thanks, Chris.
You guys. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Chris Sanders here on Jared and the GM. I agree with everyone who's been saying you go for it in that situation. I mean, Santos couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. If Cairo Santos was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a boat on Sunday, he would not have been able to hit the ocean trying to kick the ball off that boat. Like,
but what are your options?
Go for
you
it.
You don't have a backup kicker.
Go for it.
You would love to put in, hey, bring in the backup. Okay.
Fourth and four.
Where's
that's not
Bruce
that
Matthews?
Hard.
You know what? You need to look
Adam
at the
Humphreys,
look
you,
at the
you gave
analytics.
Adam Humphreys $9 million.
Look at
you
the
could have
analytics
thrown it to Adam Humphreys
of
on that
fourth
play.
And four. Look at the numbers. You will be shocked. Shocked. It is hard.
So is kicking a 53-yarder after you
especially when what are your options on fourth and four? What are we going to do? We're going to give it to Derrick Henry.
Well, who knows what this team does.
That's what you do. And if you don't give it to Derrick Henry and if you don't make it, then people are saying, you got a 250-pound running back there, and you don't give it to Derrick Henry. You guys are eggheads. You know? I mean, it's just you just can't win.
Oh, you won't convince me, Floyd, and I won't convince you.
And I'm not. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you my logic.
Okay. I'm giving you my fan logic that's never been in the
game
like you have been.
And that's good.
Your entire life.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Coming up next, the Nashville Predators won last night 5-2 over the San Jose Sharks. At what point are we going to get really excited about this new-look offense? That's coming up next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. We are live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and this is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.